You have your Bible, please join with me in turning to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. We're going to look at a small but very powerful verse this morning. I've entitled this sermon, God's Purpose for a Crushed Spirit. Proverbs 18, verse 14. Let me go ahead and read this one verse. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're going to talk about a difficult subject this morning, the subject of depression, of melancholy. Where does it come from? Why does it seem to happen and come out of nowhere for some people? I don't know what people in our congregation are going through. I don't know what our family members may be going through, if somebody has or will be or is experiencing something along these lines, but it's a sobering topic, a reminder that we live in a fallen world, but it's also a reminder of why Jesus is the hero of every difficult situation in life. So give me the strength to preach this sermon. I pray that it would bless others. I pray that it would bless us as we look at this topic together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have preached a sermon on anxiety and depression before. I think sometime last year I preached a sermon from Psalm 13 called Why Is This Happening to Me? It's a subject that's very near and dear to me, as I've taken several biblical counseling classes and have studied it. And really, as I grow as a pastor and as a preacher, I have a desire to be able to offer more counseling to others, and not only in this area, but in many other areas that people would maybe ordinarily go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist for, thinking that the church may not have answers. That doesn't mean that I have all the answers, certainly, and it doesn't mean that there's not value in doing that. So I'm not discouraging that, but I hope that as God continues to make our ministry effective here, that we would be a place that people can say, wow, the Bible does have answers to things like depression. And so I'm going to talk about the subject from the scripture and really focus on God's purposes for it. There are others. I mean, these are just a few observations that I've had over the years, and maybe some through personal experience as well. Maybe as I grow as a pastor, I'll be able to add to this list here. But let's look at this passage together in this subject. So I read Proverbs 18:14. Of course, Solomon was the author of this. And after Jesus, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Kings and queens came from afar and far and wide to hear him speak. Yeah. And God gave Solomon superior wisdom and insight into many things, but none greater than the human heart and the human soul. And I believe that if more psychologists and psychiatrists and secular counselors would look to the Bible today for wisdom, there would be more healing, there would be more effective counseling, and there would be more insight into the true condition of the human soul. And here Solomon shares his insight with his son, who would be king, when he says, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, or the King James says a wounded spirit, or the New American Standard says a broken spirit, all are accurate, displays of someone who is downtrodden and downcast mentally, a crushed spirit who can bear. And so maybe Solomon knew this from his own experience. After all, he was the leader of, at that time, the largest kingdom in the world, in the history of the world at that time. And so maybe he knew people who had a crushed spirit, or maybe he himself experienced it at times. But whatever the case, he clearly understood its devastating effects. Now, another term for a crushed or a broken or a wounded spirit is depression. You won't find the word depression in the Bible, because depression is a relatively modern concept. It used to be called melancholy, what we would refer to as depression today. And here's really the focus of what I think Solomon is trying to bring out, is that when our spirit is crushed, our hope can become obscured, and living, even the simple things of life, can be not easy. It can even blur the clarity and the aim of life. So someone who has experienced depression will testify that doing everyday things such as washing dishes, cleaning the house, maybe if they're the mother or father of a young child, changing diapers, and even having meaningful conversations with our loved ones can seem dreary. We may constantly be tired and unable to concentrate or to cope with the challenges of life. We could become unmotivated, losing a sense of value, as there's no clear direction, there's no joy, and the most severe forms of a crushed spirit could even lead to suicidal thoughts and actions. Christians can have a crushed spirit just because God has redeemed you by the parting blood of the Lamb. Doesn't mean that our bodies are immune to that. It doesn't mean that we're immune to the effects of sin. And Christians who have a crushed spirit may at times be unable to enjoy God. We may even feel guilty about our sin, even though God has legally pardoned us from our sin. Well, what are some of the causes of a crushed spirit? It could be spiritual warfare. It could be a direct result of sin into our lives. That if we are sinning, our conscience may be condemning us, and we could be going down to a dark place as a result of direct sin. It could be a result of trials. Although it may not be your sin, God has put a trial into your life to cause you to trust and depend upon Him as God deals with you individually. It could be the result of some traumatic experience in your life, such as combat. We've heard of people that have had PTSD, maybe through combat, or maybe even through childbirth at times, or the loss of a loved one. It could be something like a lack of sleep. It could be a lack of physical exercise and diet. It could be the result of some physical defect. Maybe it could be something hereditary. And it could even be the result of a chemical imbalance. We know a lot more about the human brain than we have in the past. But people don't always know the reason why they sink into depression. If you can identify that source and focus on that, then that's great. But we don't always know why. Medical doctors don't always know why. Your pastor is not going to be able to say, here's the root cause of your melancholy. But we don't always have to. Okay. Now, it's good to try to identify that. But consider this. It may not be at a particular moment of time God's will to rid somebody of that depression until His purpose of having it is complete. And so there's so many things to try to get rid of melancholy, of even anxiety and fear and those kind of things. And obviously I'm not discouraging people to seek help from that, both pastorally and in terms of secular advancement of what psychiatrists can offer. But consider that it may be God's will for you to experience this trial so that His purpose would be made in you. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. I want to focus on understanding some of God's purposes for a crushed spirit. And so have you ever found yourself, maybe this is not the case now, but when life comes at you hard and fast, and you lose your job, or you lose a loved one, or whatever, that your world gets turned upside down, you find yourself in some situation that you cannot find yourself out of, and mentally it is draining, I want to help you to be equipped from that. So for that moment. So if you find yourself wanting to hide from life, or to want to roll up into a ball and cry yourself to sleep because the pressure is too great, then at that moment you might ask, what is God's purpose for all this? That's a fair question. Is God a cruel God? Is He absent? Has God abandoned me? And that's what many people think. And so rather than turning to God or to Christ as the hero of their story, they reject God and abandon Him, not realizing that the Bible does have something to say about this. And so I want to let you know that as you suffer any form of of suffering in this life. It is God that has ordained our suffering, and He always has a good purpose for it. Romans 12, 2, which we'll get to very shortly in our study in Romans, reveals that God's will is always good and acceptable and perfect. So what I want to do this morning is give you three purposes, three of God's purposes for a crushed spirit. It's not an exhaustive list. I've actually kind of refined it a little bit, but I'm going to give you three main headings, and I'll just give them to you as they come. So the first is that God's purpose for a crushed spirit is to expose self-deception. Okay, so self-deception is a problem among people who are blind to the realities of God and sin. And so God's purpose for a crushed spirit can expose self-deception. What I mean by that, it can be a tool that God uses to awaken sinners to their true spiritual condition. This proverb here, what it's actually doing is contrasting how those with a healthy spirit versus a crushed spirit respond to a physical illness. What do I mean by that? Well, verse 14 again. A man's spirit will endure sickness, okay, or physical illness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Now, without question, this word sickness here refers to a physical illness. The word is mainly used to refer to a disease that causes some type of physical malfunction. So let me give you an example. 2 Chronicles 21:5 mentions becoming very sick with a disease of your intestines until your intestines come out by the reason of the sickness day by day. Okay, so that's a physical sickness there. And so what the first half of this verse is teaching is that mankind, when our best frame, can overcome much adversity, including illnesses, with optimism. So you can, you know, you ever seen a football player get a broken leg or a broken ankle, and they're like, ha-ha, you know, no big deal, because they have a strong mental psyche in contrast to a crushed spirit. And by the way, this is a blessing of a Christian with a renewed mind who has his eyes set upon the prize. As he looks to the author and perfecter of our faith, he can endure many things that life brings about. So no matter how much a Christian's body is crushed, God can produce unspeakable joy in that person. And we've seen through history that God has enabled Christians to overcome crushed bones, plagues, and even martyrdom by the Spirit of God. Well, God also gives a certain stamina to the lost to overcome physical sickness. Charles Bridges said in his commentary on Proverbs, "Man is born in a world of trouble with considerable power of endurance." And I think that's true for many people. Let me give you an illustration. Many years ago, Amy and I, when we were back at our old house, we were flipping through the TV, and she allowed me to watch something I wanted to watch. And so we watched a show called Extreme Engineering. And this show was about the construction of the Oakland Bay Bridge. Okay. And there was a safety incident. I know Trace, you'll appreciate this one, in which a man, he was handling a rope. He had his fingers ripped off when the rope he held suddenly singed tight. And there was a foreman there who was heady. He gathered up the man's fingers and brought him with him, and they were able to save some of his fingers. And when this man was in surgery, the doctor actually removed, I know this is kind of gross, but just bear with me, a toe from each foot and attached them to his hands. Okay? So sometimes, you know, life throws a curveball at you, and that's what happened. Yeah. Well, in this show, they were still building the Oakland Bay Bridge, and 9 months later, his hand was still recovering. He showed up to the job site to encourage his fellow workers, and he told these workers that he would be back someday, and they would be ashamed when he tied rope faster with his toes than they did with their fingers.
That's
crazy. So that's a picture of a man who felt good about himself, even though he had some physical illnesses. And so the point is that when we feel good about ourselves, okay, we can have a false assurance about our standing before God. The construction worker probably thought that he was invincible after coming back to his old job site. After all, he survived, right? And here he is back. He's still alive. And so there's a natural vitality in man, and I think that's what verse 14 is talking about. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but this natural vitality can hide us from our true spiritual frailty. And young people in particular are particularly prone to fall for Satan's deception. God can take away their physical health, but they may still feel like God is pleased with them because the full condition of our spirit is not fully understood. You even see this on some people on their deathbed. They're knocking on death's door, but they refuse to admit that they're about to perish. It just doesn't feel right. After all, Ecclesiastes says God has set eternity in our hearts. And so we don't, even though with our head we might think, hey, I don't have that much longer to live, with our heart, we just can't always process it because we are eternal creatures. And so people will refuse to admit that they're about to perish. And so even a physical illness, even somebody on their deathbed, is often not enough for them to see the true condition of their own heart. But when the weight of the world is on someone's shoulders, it causes people often to question the purpose of their own existence. And that's how this is a tool that God uses to, you know, it doesn't automatically do it. In the same way that discipline doesn't automatically, you spank your child and that's not automatically going to fix the problem. They have to be willing to accept and to listen to what their backside is saying to them. So it doesn't automatically do it. But in the same way, God uses depression and melancholy to strip away the self-deception that hinders us from relying on Him. And see, I think depression is one of the purest expressions of the real human condition. And God is so gracious in that most of us maybe aren't having to go through those hard times, or if we do, that it's very infrequently. But I think what happens in depression is that God is really just revealing just how bad off we are, and He's just kind of pulling back the veil and showing us that if left to ourselves, really to give us a glimpse of what hell will be like. Because what do you think hell is going to be like? An absence of God, a constant questioning of why did I not repent and choose Christ when I had the opportunity to do so? Why did I treat other people so badly? Why did I just reject God when I could have been serving Him all the days of my life? And it will just be a living hell, because it will actually be hell, and depression will certainly be a part of that. And so it's a tool that God uses to help us to see our need for Him. You know what Jesus said? He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, Matthew 9:12. And so God uses that as a tool to reveal our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one purpose, okay? Now here's the second purpose. God's purpose of a crushed spirit is to produce humility, okay? It's humbling. It is a humbling thing, and though it's difficult to understand or to even believe, there are certain blessings that can come from having a crushed spirit, and I think one of them is that God can use it. Other you know, life-changing experiences in life can produce a similar way, and a similar outcome, and I don't think that depression is any different. And I believe that there can be a connection between depression and humility, and that God could create it in order to produce humility. Let me tell you why I believe that. Well, this phrase, crushed spirit, is used two different ways in Scripture. In this verse, Solomon clearly means depression that comes from no joy. And this is how psychologists define depression. It's used in other contexts too, other proverbs. Proverbs, you might write these down next to this passage. Proverbs 15:13. This is from the New American Standard. A glad heart makes a cheerful face. Right? So that's what's a glad heart? It's somebody that has a good countenance. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. Okay? Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is a good medicine. Ah, so now we're talking about medicine here. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So very clearly it's talking about a form of depression here, a form of melancholy. However, elsewhere, this phrase refers to humility. Sometimes it's actually translated a contrite spirit. So listen to what Isaiah says. What God says through Isaiah, Isaiah 66:2. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Psalm 51:15-17. Of course, this is David's penitent psalm after he acknowledges his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite before the Lord. Psalm 51:15-17. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Okay? A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so I think that there is a hidden blessing. And I mean, this is something that people will have to address individually and you know, in your own lives, and you have to want this. It will be wasted on many people who are not pursuing Christ. But if you're pursuing Christ, I think that there can be a hidden blessing in these times of darkness. You know, God will give many, many people an intellectual awareness of sin. They will come to church and say, oh, I sinned. I'm a great sinner. I am the worst. But then they'll go and leave the church and do the very thing that they confessed they know to be wrong, because it was only a head knowledge. But that's not enough to be a truly repentant and have a contrite spirit. We need to have a heart awareness. And many who have suffered depression are able, one of the reasons why they suffer from depression is because they're able to see the reality of sin much more clearly. And so the consequences of that, they understand it more fully because God has kind of pricked their heart to see it. Maybe it's their own sin, but it could be the sin of others, as other people have performed acts of sin against them, and they don't like what they see. You know, consider a person who has a history of sexual abuse, or a history of child abuse, or has a history of drugs, or even someone who has had an abortion. Now, abortion is murder, but by God's grace, there is room at the cross for even someone who has committed an abortion. But they dwell on that sin that they have committed, and it eats at them to no end, and it affects other areas of their life. And they may struggle with their past, which can lead to depression. And what I would say there is that maybe God has made that person more sensitive to sin. And I want to say that if somebody up here falls into that category, even if you feel guilt over something in the past, if you have repented of your sin and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for that sin. And that's where I think a pastor or a minister who knows the Word of God can come alongside people who are symptomatic and say, it may be sin, it may not be. But you're not going to have your doctor, a secular psychiatrist, open up the Word of God and say, now let's see what God could be saying or using this for to come alongside you in this situation. So in an evangelical sense, a crushed spirit could be a precious gift of God. And the gospel encourages humility. You have to humble your heart and take ownership for your sin and not blame it on, you know. Now it gets complicated because maybe you do have some form of a chemical imbalance. But what tends to happen is that people will blame everything on their brain not functioning correctly. They'll say, I haven't taken my medication, and therefore everything that I do, carte blanche, is a result of my chemical imbalance, and not take ownership of their own sin. And it could be a combination of both things that really need to be addressed. But I think that depression can be a gift of God, and that it can produce humility, and because a crushed spirit can describe a heart that is tender ripe for repentance by the sovereign work of God. Okay. So that's the second point. And then finally, God's purpose of a crushed spirit is to bring glory and honor to Christ. Okay. Now, look at this verse again here. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? This verse is, it's an open-ended question. It's intended to cause us to ponder the question, to make us ponder it, but it feels incomplete. That like more should be said to finish the thought. Who can bear a crushed spirit? Well, God, He inspired, you know, this is the words of Solomon, but this is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And God enabled Solomon to write this as part of the larger narrative of Scripture. And I believe that God wrote this proverb as one of the ways He used to prepare Israel for the future outpouring of grace that was to come through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This proverb first predicts the work of Christ to come. It predicts Him by saying, who can bear a crushed spirit? Well, the answer is Christ can bear our crushed spirit. He bears that which we cannot bear ourselves. Isaiah 53:4, surely He has borne our griefs and has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. See, we can't always bear our own afflictions. We need someone else to do it for us. And at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, He bore the afflictions that we are unable to do ourselves. I think this verse is also preparatory for the work of Christ, and that it prepared Israel to understand certain aspects of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It helped them to see their need for a Savior, to look beyond themselves for healing. Because obviously the answer is not in and of themselves. So if there's either going to be no answer at all, that no one can bear this, or they have to look outside of themselves to the One who alone is able to bear a crushed spirit. And so it asks us, who can bear it? But it also causes us to ask, who can heal it? Psalm 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That is the miracle of salvation. That is the mercy of God found at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He binds up the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds their wounds. And so today He proclaims the good news of the gospel to those who are afflicted. And the good news is that if you are in Christ Jesus, He has borne your afflictions. You may not feel like it at times. That's a symptom of depression, is you may not feel like your sins are forgiven. And that could be the case. But if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you have the right to believe that your sins are forgiven despite your feelings. You can't go to your feelings. You have to go to the law and to the testimony and trust that when Christ said it is finished, that means it is finished. And so our liberty doesn't depend on our feelings, no matter how destitute we may feel. It depends on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the righteousness that He has already accomplished on your behalf. And so at moments in life when you have no sunshine of your own, it is okay to borrow from the sunshine of another. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need a coping mechanism, use that as a coping mechanism. When you have no light of your own, borrow the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not be disappointed. And so as we conclude this morning, this verse, at least to me, screams Christ as the only hope of mankind. If you're overwhelmed with work, with family life, physical suffering, or maybe even your own sin, remember that Jesus Christ is the great physician. He doesn't promise a pain-free existence in this life, but He does promise peace and eternal rest for our souls. And so if you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps God is using this verse and maybe even your own afflictions to show you your need for Him. But if you're a believer and you're going through something like this, just know that depression is a God-ordained way to draw you near to the one that you love. And He may or He may not choose to give you the relief that you seek in this life. And ultimately, I hope that He will. But at the end of the day, seek Him, continue to seek Him and His kingdom, and trust in Him and trust His purposes for your life. Ultimately, our hope is not in this life. As Christians, we have a future hope. One day we will have a resurrected body, and we will no longer experience any hurt or any pain, and that includes any form of mental illness that you may be going through. Revelation 21:4, and I'll close with this. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters in Christ, but I can't wait for that day. But it really begins with what we do with Jesus Christ and Him crucified today. Will you have Him as your Savior? Will you trust upon Him even when things are not clicking above, even when your world seems like it's falling apart? Will you look to Him? He is the hero of all of humanity. And this is another way where Jesus is proven to be great, and God wants His name to be magnified among His people. Well, if you don't know Him, I invite you to turn from your sin, to put your trust in Him. If this has struck a chord, I would love to spend some time chatting with you. Just set up some time with me. Like I mentioned, I'm trying to make myself more available here. I'll sit and chat with you after the service if you would like.